Good morning. We're learning Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kafchet Amud Bet, 28b. We are around halfway down the page, a bit further. So what did we learn? We are learning about the laws of disqualification of witnesses. Let's see where the next one. Tov, we're nearly at the end. Maybe even today we'll get to the next Mishnah. Depends on how far we do. We'll see. Nearly at the end of this section, learning about those people who are disqualified. The last thing we learned was a machloket between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. What was a machloket? How we understand the Mishnah. Who is really disqualified? Actually, not even how we understand the Mishnah. It turns out there's a machloket even behind the Mishnah. The Mishnah conflicts with a different brayta. There's another brayta, which follows the view of Rabbi Yossi, which talks about the brother-in-law, whether or not the brother-in-law is disqualified. So what do we have? So it turned out that we actually have two opinions of Rabbi Yossi. This is what we said the last class. Rabbi Yossi has two opinions. We have Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. And we have Rabbi Yossi in the Braita.
Yeah, I had a choice for you about the others. Still didn't see it. But the beginning, you know, setting off. Didn't see it.
We're going to ask a good question. We're saying now that we've learned that Rabbi Yossi had apparently two different opinions. So we've got two different Rabbi Yossis, or the same Rabbi Yossi, but two different opinions. So what's going on? Right? The Tanna can't hold two different opinions. Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says that, according to Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, disqualification follows the law of inheritance. Right? And therefore, brother-in-law is permitted to testify. Right? According to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi cites in the Mishnah, the wording in the Mishnah is, Rabbi Yossi says, Zu Mishnah Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah that we're learning now, followed Rabbi Akiva. Aval, but Mishnah Rishana, there was an earlier Mishnah which taught Dodo ben Dodo, the uncle, the son of the uncle, will call Harui Lu Yorushal, and all those who are fitting. Everything good? And all those who are fitting to inherit. So Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah says that the rule of disqualification does not go by our Mishnah, but goes by an earlier Mishnah, which says that the rule is actually based on inheritance. But Yossi in the Mishnah said, there's a different rule called inheritance. We just simply look at who's able to inherit, and that gives us the rule of who's relative. Therefore, what that would mean is that a brother-in-law is permitted to testify. So the brother-in-law does not inherit. Right? It's not what I said yesterday, I got it wrong. But today I'm correcting myself.
According to one opinion.
According to the opinion that we follow inheritance.
Right.
According to the opinion stated by Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah said, we got the list of the Mishnah rules, and then Rabbi Yossi said, this Mishnah that you just cited goes by Rabbi Akiva, but you should know there's an earlier Mishnah that says it follows inheritance instead. And that's what I quoted under the name of Rabbi Yossi.
Are there halachot and rules from who gets inheritance?
Yeah. We haven't got
here. We're not talking about a will.
No. A will, you can leave it to your cat.
Right.
Right. So there's no law of inheritance there.
But a cat's pursued for other reasons.
Right. Apart from the kosher cats like Chichi are fine, but other normal cats will be passed. Yes.
Most of them don't keep cats.
Right, but that's what our attorney said when we filled out a will.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's the standard legal answer.
Very good. All right, let's not go on. So normally, there is Jewish laws of inheritance. What they are and where you find them, I don't know exactly. But it turns out that brother-in-laws are not there. So if a person is to die and he doesn't have a wife or kids, and his next relative in line is the brother-in-law, the brother-in-law wouldn't get it.
Uh-huh.
The brother-in-law wouldn't get it. The person died without...
You say yes to
me. Right? The brother-in-law is not on the list. Right? He's not related to you. Goes to your family. Your father's brothers. Right? The brother-in-law is not related to you. Right? Your wife is, but the brother-in-law... Right? So, according to that rule, it turns out Rabbi Yossi said brother-in-law is permitted, meaning he's not disqualified. Right? Not one of the disqualifications. But in the Braita we just learned, right, the Braita that we learned yesterday, we had an argument between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda about the brother-in-law and the stepson. So in that Braita, Rabbi Yossi said, brother-in-law is disqualified. Right? So, the Gemara is now going to say that the first thing is that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. And we don't know which one. But before we get to that question, Rabbi Reuben asked a good question this morning when we just started putting this up on the board. Which is this the same Rabbi Yossi? Why? Because what's going on? How can Rabbi Yossi say two different things?
There could be two different Rabbi Yossis.
So that's one option. One option is there could be two different Rabbi Yossis. That's one option. So that's not the answer here. It could be. It's something worth thinking about. But most of the time, it's not the case. And usually the Gemara will say clearly if it is. Because that can wreck things up once you start changing different people with different names. So it's very rare that happens. But could be. The other alternative is he retracted his opinion. At one point he thought this, and then later he retracted it. And again, usually the Gemara will say that Rabbi Yochanan then came along and spoke to him and put in and told him the right answer, and he changed his mind and said, yeah, you know, you're right. But again, that's quite rare. Right? Usually once a Tana has a Shita, it's because he's thought it out and he doesn't really go back and change his mind. He knows the other options. It's not like he hadn't thought about the other options. He knows the other options and he chose this one. So usually they don't go back, but it could happen. He changed his mind. But here...
Well, also there could be different circumstances.
They could be talking about something else. Meaning it's not a conflict. Actually, you can resolve it by saying it's not a conflict. One is talking about apples, one is talking about pears.
Exactly.
Okay, so again, it's a possible option, but it's not here. So what the case is here? The case is here is... The answer to Gemara gives here is that in our Mishnah, says that Yossi says Amar Rabbi Yossi, Zu Mishnah Rabbi Akiva, Avayish Mishnah Rishonah, blah blah blah. He says this is the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. But you should know there's an earlier Mishnah which says Rabbi Yossi is just citing the Mishnah. He's not giving his opinion. He's pointing out the fact that you should know there's another Mishnah. He's not saying that that's his opinion. In the first case, Rabbi Yossi is saying there's an earlier Mishnah, and the earlier Mishnah says the disqualification of first law of inheritance. I don't hold that myself. I hold the brother-in-law is disqualified. I don't hold this. But you should know there is an earlier Mishnah. This is the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. There was an earlier one that said something different.
But did he
follows Rabbi Yossi follows this Mishnah. The Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva is the one he's actually following. He's pointing out why he's pointing out. Tom, you could discuss why he's pointing out. There's another Mishnah that I don't hold by. Tom, pointing out there's another Mishnah.
He mentions why he's pointing it out.
No. That in the Mishnah it says, he just said, the Mishnah says, gives the list, and it says, Rabbi Yossi says, this is the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. There was an earlier Mishnah which says different.
Then why did he bring it up?
That's a good question. So first of all, it's good to know that it exists, that there is another opinion, that there is another Mishnah out there, i.e. a strong halakhic opinion, saying that we follow the law of inheritance. It might not be the way we actually paskan halakha, but to know that earlier it was taught that way. Maybe there was a reason why earlier and then later they took a different Mishnah which went the other way. Usually you don't take two Mishnahs, which right, by definition the Mishnah is the final, is the ruling of Rebbe, right? That he chose. How did the Mishnahs come about? Rebbe took all of the halachic statements that existed from the sages and put them into two categories. One Mishnayot and two Brises. Right, the Mishnayot and Brises are at the same level, so to speak, in one sense. They're the statements of the Tanayim. Rebbe took together took out of all of them, he took the main ones, the ones we rely on, the ones that give the halakha, and he called them Mishnayot. And all the other statements were called Braitot. They didn't make it into the Mishnah, for whatever reason. Either because they didn't need to, because they were already covered by another Mishnah, or because they went against, and we don't hold that way, or because they weren't so validated. It wasn't a clear reasoning, it wasn't a clear whatever, but they were statements of the Tanayim, which is why we keep them as Brises, because they come to teach us. We can learn from the statements of the Tanayim, the writer. But we hold the Mishnah above them.
Mishnah
above the Braitot. That's what Rebbe did. Rebbe chose the Mishnayot out of all the halakhic statements. Some called the leftovers were called Braitot, if you like. Braitot means outside, those that were left out. Right? And so here, it's also for us to understand, I don't know, maybe Rabbi Yeshua Cohen might have a good answer. I don't know if Fred has an answer that would help us out. We have an interesting Mishnah. We have a Mishnah which the Mishnah just lists a list of whatever it's listing, and then in the middle of the Mishnah we have a statement from Rabbi Yossi that says, inside the Mishnah, not in the Gemara, inside the Mishnah it says, this Mishnah followed Rabbi Akiva, but you should know there's an earlier Mishnah that goes different. And what I'm posing is what the concept of an earlier Mishnah that would be different. How can you pick two Mishnahs that go against each other earlier and later? I don't understand earlier Mishnah. You don't say it's an earlier Brighter. If it was a Brighter that goes different, then that Brighters go different all the time. The fact there's another Mishnah that goes different, and it's an earlier one, whether or not that makes a particular difference, it's earlier or later, but. On the Mishnah itself, on the Mishnah on Kaf.
The only thing I would think of is that earlier, in terms of if you're listing from top to bottom, you're going down. Earlier meaning, you know, further up in the way they were listed.
But how can we have two? How can Rebbe pick two Mishnayot that conflict on the same topic? Meaning. Is one of the Mishnah that we've got cited is not the Mishnah Rabbi Yossi mentioned. By the way, there's another Mishnah that says different. So it seems to me that the earlier one was so to speak rejected and a new one put in its place. But then I don't understand that kind of chronologically when Rebbe's putting them together. He's putting together this mission and then later on, whatever later is, and I don't know, I thought we put them together in a specific period. Later on it was decided another mission supersedes. I don't understand how that is. Okay, thank you. It's not that I put you on the spot.
Okay,
so what it turns out is anyway that we have two. How was there everything? Everything well?
Just a question.
Yeah, all went smoothly. Another one.
In the same day with the Pigua.
Yeah.
And also for the Chatan, that was a great mess. The Chatan.
Yeah.
He had a great mess.
Had a great mess.
Yeah.
He was
sleeping in the house of his grandmother in Arnov.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to daven on that minyan.
Oh yeah.
And she was a compassion on him, like a mercy on him. Oh, he's supposed to today to get married. I will not wake him up on 6:30. And then she wake him up on 7:15 when she told him all the neighborhood of shooting and.
Did I get that in? Of Eliezer's daughter, Baruch Hashem, got married on Tuesday evening. And the Chatan was staying in Har Nof by his grandmother on the Monday night. I was going to daven in that minyan on the Tuesday morning. But the grandmother had Rachmanos on him because he was getting married today. She didn't want to wake him up. She didn't wake him up for the minyan.
She only saw wake him up and on the shooting. Oh, everybody shoot now. Levin, one of the victims, live in the same minyan. They're supposed to break Shema Brachot on Yom Rishon. They probably will take it to other places. They don't want to make it in the same. And they said that Chatan said that he was invited there by Levin, Hashem Yikom Damo, on the evening. He spoke with him on 10 o'clock in the evening before and told him, yeah, I have a wedding tomorrow, you will come.
Tosh, we live in
miracles.
Interesting and difficult and challenging times.
What
can
curse?
We do? We can be grateful to Hashem for everything we have. We should all be grateful, just very grateful. Grateful that when we come back from davening in the morning, Hashem, thank you that I came back davening from Shabbat today. For everything, what Hashem, we should be grateful, for, particularly that we're here learning. So let's continue our learning, and it should be in Zechut, Mam Yisrael. Sorry? Rabbi Yossi.
First, you say this is the Mishnah from Rabbi Akiva. But there's an early Mishnah.
Nahon.
He mentioned it, but he's not yet his own Mishnah.
No, he's saying that this statement, the early, the disqualification goes by the inheritance, is the earlier Mishnah. Yeah. He doesn't have his own opinion.
But the writer is from him.
Yeah, the writer is from him. The writer is his. Okay. So, the Gemara now, where are we? 28b. Kafkat Amabet. Says Amar Rav Yehuda Mashmua. Right, little bit over halfway down the page. Halacha Karabi Yossi. The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Now, at this point, we are holding that we think that we're talking about the first one, right? The Mishnah, right? When it says the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, the suggestion maybe is that we're going by the first Mishnah, meaning that actually in that first in the Mishnah, which says, by the way, there's another Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi says there's another Mishnah. We go by what Rabbi Yossi says. Go by that first Mishnah. Don't go by what you just read. We just read our whole long list. And then said at the end of it, that's a Tanakama, right? Tanakama, the unnamed Tana, the first one, says the whole list. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, actually, this is a Rabbi Akiva, so let's call it Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva has the opinion that there's a whole long list. But Rabbi Yossi says, but there's an earlier Mishnah, which goes by inheritance, doesn't go by that list. And then the Gemara, at this point, says, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. So the assumption of the Gemara is, talking about the Mishnah, usually what we're speaking about.
Okay.
We don't know. We're gonna flip it and see. We're gonna see if it works. But that's the starting point is, if you've got a Gemara that says something which apparently could be referring to the Mishnah, so it's referring to the Mishnah. The Gemara, that's what it does. The Gemara speaks about the Mishnah that you've just learned. So maybe the Gemara, that's what the first assumption is. Maybe Rav Shmuel here, Rav Yehuda, name of Shmuel, is talking about our Mishnah, but actually, we don't go by Rabbi Akiva, the Tanakhama, we go by Rabbi Yossi, and we go by the law of inheritance for the halakha.
But didn't we say there are two opinions from Rabbi Yossi?
Yeah.
So which one?
So that's what I'm saying. That our first assumption is we go by the Mishnah. Right? Rabbi Yossi had an opinion in the Braita, but we don't know we're talking about that because there's no we don't know which one. So out of the two, if I don't yet know, I'm going to assume we're talking about the Mishnah. Until told otherwise, that's my default. We're talking about the Mishnah. Unless you tell me, show me otherwise. So that's what that's the route that the Gemara is taking to start with. And how are we going to analyze that? By looking at this example. Ahim matana. Dahave chatime alai tregise. There was a certain gift document on which two brothers-in-law were signed on it, right? The two brothers-in-law we had were the two sisters, right? Sister, and their husband A and husband B, right? Well, there were only one each of the sisters, but they only have one husband. Yossi. Tov. So, two husbands were signed on the document. Now, what's the case? What do we answer? What do we think is the law? So, Savar Rav Yosef la'ach shura. Rabbi Yosef, who's a different, he's not Rabbi Yossi, he's Rabbi Yosef, he's a new guy. Rabbi Yossi once thought that he should make it kosher. It should be allowed. Why should this be allowed? Da'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Right? And therefore, these two are allowed. If we understand, like we are assuming, that the Gemara means that we follow Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, then the law of disqualification goes by inheritance. And if the law of disqualification goes by inheritance, right, if it goes by inheritance, like we said, Rabbi Yossi said, then these two are not related for inheritance purposes. You can't inherit each other, right? So, there is a kosher. These two signed on the document, the haram. If we follow Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. So that's why he wanted to make it fine. Amalei Abai, but Abai came along and said to him, Mimai de Rabbi Yossi v'matnitin de makasher begiso. From what, how do you know that we're talking about Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah? That where he allows a brother-in-law to testify. Right, he allows, according to our Mishnah, he allows the brother-in-law to testify. He's not disqualified because it doesn't follow it in an inheritance. Dilma, maybe Rabbi Yossi de Breita de Pasil Begiso. Maybe we're talking about Rabbi Yossi in the Breita. Right, number two. Maybe we're actually talking about this Rabbi Yossi. How do you know that when Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, the statement that we follow Rabbi Yossi, how do you know which Rabbi Yossi he was talking about? Why are you assuming that he was talking about this Rabbi Yossi? Maybe he was talking about this Rabbi Yossi. Okay. It's a question. We don't know at this stage. It's a question.
When we read the Mishnah, we say there is an early Mishnah. There's Rabbi Akiva on early, but it's not his statement. He mentioned one. He mentioned two
right.
So it's not his opinion.
Nahon, it's not his opinion, but when we're talking about that opinion, he's the one who said it. So we bring it in his name. So we say we follow Rabbi Yossi, a halacha like Rabbi Yossi. You're right, Rabbi Yossi wasn't talking about himself. But when we say the halacha follows the thing that Rabbi Yossi said.
Yeah.
So instead of saying that, you say you follow Rabbi Yossi. So that's what Abai says. Abai says maybe we're talking about Rabbi Yossi in the Brayta. We're not talking about Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef replied to him and said, "Lo sal kadatach. You don't think that, right? It shouldn't occur to you that way. Damar Shmuel. Why? Rabbi Yosef says no. Initially, Rabbi Yosef says, right? Abai poses him the question." Says to him, wait a minute, why are you assuming that we're following Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah? Maybe, says Abai, we're following Rabbi Yossi in the Brayta. Answers back to him, Rabbi Yosef, and says to him, no, Lo sal kadatach, why do you think that it should be going by the Brayta? Right? I know what I'm saying. Right? I have a reason for understanding that this is the correct Rabbi Yossi to follow. You're right, could be that one. But I've got a reason for this. Why? Why do I think that we should go by the Mishnah? Because Kugan, for example, Damash Los Al Kadacha, don't think it should go by the writer, why not? Damashmo, because Shmuel said, Kugan Ana Upinchas, Dahavinan Ache Vegise. Because Shmuel once said, right, Shmuel, who is the one who said this law, right? So Shmuel, who's Ramah Rabbi Yehuda, the name is Shmuel, who said we go by Rabbi Yossi. So Shmuel also said, who is Kagon like, for example, me and Pinchas? Who's me and Pinchas? Dehavin and Achei Vegisei, who are brothers and brothers-in-law. Me and Pinchas, says Shmuel, who are brothers and brothers-in-law. How do you be brothers and brothers-in-law?
You marry sisters.
When you marry sisters, right, same thing. Right, so this is, who is it? It's Shmuel. Shmuel. And he's brothers with Pinchas. So they're brothers. And they're also brothers-in-law because they, wife and wife, also sisters. Right, so they're brothers and brothers-in-law.
But for inheritance, they would first be classified as brothers.
So wait a minute. Nahon, you're right, 100%. But
it's different.
What's different?
Because they're brothers.
You're right. So why did you say, Nahon? So 100%. So what are you saying? So what he should be, right, before we get to the problem, let's get to the, what are we trying to say here? So first of all, this is trying to be a proof, right? This is a proof brought by Rabbi Yosef for why he went with this and not this. Yeah? The reason why he said this, I have to keep everything in context and why where it comes in the argument. The reason why he brought this example is in order to back up his view that the Rabbi Yossi we're talking about is the first one, not the second. Right? Because he wants to show that Shmuel, who said it, holds by this and not by this. Holds by this. What does it mean that Shmuel holds by this? It means that he holds by the laws of inheritance, which means that the brother-in-law is permitted. Therefore, when he said, for example, who is a brother-in-law that is not permitted. Who's the brother-in-law we're talking about that's disqualified?
Who's not permitted?
you're not permitted. This is right. So this is an example of a brother-in-law. Who is not permitted, right? All other ones would be fine, right? You'd have to have a brother-in-law like this in order to be disqualified, right? Any other brother-in-law is going to be permitted. That's Shmuel's statement. So you're right, you can have a situation of a brother-in-law, but not really. All other brother-in-laws are permitted, right? Only if you happen to be a brother as well.
But that's an unusual example.
Now, hold on. You're right.
And so you could get confused.
No, he's making the point by saying this is the only brother-in-law that's going to be disqualified. Everyone else is going to be permitted, and therefore it seems to be that we do follow. There seems to be evidence. It's not the clearest evidence in the world, but it seems to be evidence, it's backup proof, supporting evidence that Shmuel did mean this. Right? That's what Rabbi Yosef cites in his faith.
So that in that case, the document is invalid because two brother-in-laws signed it.
No, it's valid. He's saying that they're not disqualified.
But he's saying that he's giving an example of him and his brother
as someone who would be disqualified, meaning anyone else wouldn't be. You would have to be an actual full brother in order to be disqualified here. Anyone else is fine.
So it's going by the laws of inheritance.
Correct, that's what he's saying. But for Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, not Rabbi Yossi in the Braita. The laws of inheritance. He is going by the laws of inheritance. That Rabbi Yosef came and he wanted to make this kosher. Why? Because he said, we follow Rabbi Yossi. Which Rabbi Yossi? The Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, where we go by inheritance, and therefore it's fine.
So in that case, it would be valid because the brother-in-laws could testify.
Correct. Yes. Okay. So that was Rabbi Yossi's argument for why he held the Mishnah. But Abai, who brought the question to him and said, wait a minute, maybe it's the Braita, has a retort, has a comeback to him, and says, V'dilma, but maybe, Kagon Ana Upinchas, Mishum Degiso Kama, but perhaps Shmuel, you're right, Shmuel said, me and my brother Pinchas. But maybe we can understand Shmuel's statement differently. I don't have to understand Shmuel's statement as a backup to support that. You can understand Shmuel's statement differently. How? Dilma kagon ana upinchas mishum degiso kama. Maybe when he said, for example, me and my brother Pinchas, who's also a brother-in-law, right? Mishum degiso kama was simply a case of a brother-in-law. Right? He's saying that you don't have to understand it, that that's the only type of brother-in-law. We said that the way of Rabbi Yosef wants to understand the statement, that this is the only type of brother-in-law that's going to be disqualified because he happens to be a full brother. But any other brother-in-law wouldn't be. And Abai comes along and says, fine, I hear, you could say it that way, but it doesn't have to be that way. It could just be that he had a brother-in-law. So he's saying, for example, like my brother-in-law, my brother-in-law is maybe not the best example, because he's also my brother, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's only that type. You don't have to learn it out the same way. It's not conclusive proof. Okay. Amale, so he said back to him. No, so he said to him. So now, after that, it's interestingly because at that point, Abai here has not defeated Rav Yosef's argument. He's just shown him that it could be talking about the other one. could be talking about the Braita, but he's not shown him that his Mishnayak proof is wrong. He's just shown him that it doesn't have to be that way. But obviously, at this point, Rav Yosef seems to have conceded defeat. Though it's not clear to me, but that's okay, I don't know anything. It's not clear to me why he concedes defeat. He levatel on his position, right? Because he hasn't been refuted. But anyway, at this point, Rav Yosef says zilkanei ba'adei misira. So he says, you know what? It might be here that he doesn't actually concede defeat. He just gives him a different option. He says, you know what? Instead, go and acquire by Masira, Karav Elazar, like Rav Elazar. What's he saying here? He's saying, go and acquire by Masira. What's this scenario we were talking about? We're talking about this gift document, which was signed on by two brothers. And we said that two brothers might not be good witnesses. So he says to him, you know what? There's an argument that the Rabbi Yossi that we follow is really the second Rabbi Yossi. And if that's true, then it will be that this gift is not good. Right? They'll be disqualified. Could be. I don't know at this stage. I thought like the first way, but I now see that Abai told me it could actually be that we follow the second one. If that's true, then this is not a valid gift, because those two witnesses are not valid. So instead, follow the ruling of Rav Elazar, who said that you can perfect a gift by giving it in the presence of two witnesses, two kosher witnesses. You can give it in their presence, and that will affect the gift as well. So go and do that instead. Right, to be sure. Right, why not go and do that? But even that's not good enough. Why not? Because the Gemara explains, "Vama Rabbi Abba." But we have a problem because Rabbi Abba said, "Modeh Rabbi Elazar be'mezuyaf mitocho shehu pasul." Rabbi, you're right. Rabbi Elazar said that you can perfect a transaction, a gift, or some other document by giving it in the presence of two kosher witnesses. However, not in the case. Rabbi Elazar agrees that it doesn't work in the case where the document is forged. Forged. In the case of a forged document, it doesn't help that you hand it over in the presence of two kosher witnesses. So therefore, learn from that we're not dealing with the case of a forged document here, but we are dealing with the case of a document where two disqualified witnesses signed on it, which amounts to the same thing. So although Rabbi Elazar said you can hand a document in the presence of two people, that's only if there was not a problem with the document. Here you've got a problem with the document, the two invalid witnesses signed on it. And that makes the document pasul. And it's not going to help that it's given over in the presence of two witnesses.
But how does this differ than the word forge? I mean, forged is someone makes up a fake document.
Yeah.
Whereas an invalid document is something else. I mean, it's still invalid, but it's different than forged.
Nahon, it's different.
Forgery means criminal.
It depends. It means a lot of different things. But always in the Gemara, we're learning across from similar circumstances. If 90% of the time, 99% of the time, when we're learning from one to B, they're not exactly the same. Right, that's why we're learning across. If they were exactly the same, there wouldn't be a question. We wouldn't have to learn. We'd have the scenario that we need, and we just say, "There we go. It's clear. We had that scenario." But in almost all the cases, we're learning from other scenarios that are similar, and saying, "Well, therefore, we follow that." Right? We're learning from one to the other. But you're right. But often in those same scenarios, we'll have a challenge by saying it's not the same thing. You're right. You want to learn from that scenario, but there's a difference here. So you're very right to point out that here we're learning from a forged document to an invalid document. Question is, can we say there's a difference that makes it not the same, that you can't learn from A to B? So that's not our sugya here. We don't know. If on a different, if you look in Gittin, where it talks about giving over a document in the presence of two people, right? So maybe over there it talks about whether or not you learn from one to the other. Here we're just bringing the final conclusion, right? We want to bring Rebbe Elazar. We say no, we can't, because Rebbe Elazar said about forged documents. But you're certainly right to question whether or not this is something you can learn from. The conclusion of the Gemara is that you can, because it's just brought it here without any question.
Okay.
But over there, it would probably be discussed as to whether or not that's a valid learning. So we can't learn, we can't hand it over in the presence of two, so that doesn't help. Amale, so he said to him, Zil la shavkeli de ot vine la. They don't allow me to give it to you. Meaning, he says to the guys who brought this document with the two invalid witnesses, well, we don't know they're invalid, we know that they're not sure, that we're not certain that they're valid. Rabbi Yossi says, I can't give you a psak here that it's a kosher document. He's not saying it's not kosher, because he never got refuted. But he just didn't have a strong enough argument to go by Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. So at the end of the day, his opinion was, sorry, I haven't got what to... I can't tell you that it's valid. Because it might not be. You're right, it might be that we go by Rabbi Yossi in the Braita, in which case it wouldn't be, but it might be. And I don't have either way. So he says, I can't make it, right, because he can't make it valid on the basis of the rest. So it's as if he's got to find something else, he's got to find some different evidence. Do it again. Go and get a new document with two valid witnesses on it.
Right, that's my question. Would he say...
Yeah, I mean, that would be the easy answer, but then we wouldn't have the whole sugya discussing it. Right? He'd just say, just go and get two other people, right? And then we wouldn't have all that learning. Right? So that's obviously the...
But no, the bottom line is that the document's invalid.
It's not invalid. We just haven't got proof that it's valid. It's a difference. It's not invalid. We could only say it was invalid if we were sure that we went by Rabbi Yossi in the writer.
But we're not.
But we're not sure we don't go that. So we don't know it's invalid. But I can't tell you that it's valid. It depends. It depends who's going to suffer. Because in a monetary transaction like this is, when you're giving to one, it means that you're taking from another. So there's no leniency and stringency, because what's lenient to one is stringent on the other. So there's no...
So then they need to redo the document?
If they want to rely on it, yeah. They can't rely on it as a valid transaction.
So they need to go back to the original...
Do whatever they can do. Yeah, do whatever they want to start again. It's not good proof. It's a nice document. It's very pretty. It's very nice. I like it, but you can't use it as proof. There's other ways. You can show a chazaka that you've had it for 3 years of its land, or different things, but not. Don't rely on the document. Tov. Okay, let's move forward. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says two dots. Right? What does Rabbi Yehuda Omer? So let's go back to our Mishnah to see exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda, we need to go before Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is a comment on the Tanna Kamma. So Tanna Kamma says, Call Hakarov Loba Otosha. Anyone who was a relative at that time, he's the one that's disqualified. Hayakarov Nitrachek, but if he was a relative and then he was distant, right? There was a right the joining link in the family died, for example. Hareze Kashen, now he's kosher. He's no longer related, right? The brother in law and the wife dies. So he's no longer related to me, he's now just right, so he's now kosher. Could be that he was not. Now he is. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at this point Rabbi Yehuda now says, Afilo meta bito, even if his daughter died, but yesh lo banim mimena, but she has sons from him, from the brother-in-law, or the son-in-law, actually, the daughter, right, the son-in-law, Harezer Karov, he's still considered a relative. The children are the ones that maintain the link. He's still considered a relative because he's their father, right? He's not the sister, the brother, the daughter, whatever, husband anymore, but he's, right. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda said. That's what we're discussing. Goes down, but then it goes back up to the father. Rabbi Yehuda is saying we go back up, right? B'nehem, b'notehem, that's fine. The children we know are disqualified, but the father of those children is disqualified.
That's the
bit. That's the son-in-law by marriage. A son-in-law by marriage, if there was no children there, he's now free. He's now separated by the breaking of the marriage is now over. She died, for example. So he's now free. He can now testify. But if the children are there, he's now stuck. Yeah?
It gets confusing.
Like this. We're saying, right, father, right, he's the one, let's say, in the witness box. Right? He has daughter. Right? She's married to the son-in-law. Now, case number one is, scenario number one, she dies. No children. She died with no children. He is now free to testify.
No connection.
No connection. He's off by himself. However, if she now dies and they do have children, he is not able to testify. Which is a chiddush, because the kids are maintaining the link.
Okay. Now, would that be the same if they were divorced?
Yes. Yes, the sever. Well, divorce is severs the soul. It's a shtar krita. It severs the soul that was joined together by the marriage. Is put apart. Yes, good. So far.
Divorce was the same.
Yeah, divorce also.
With their children in connection.
Yeah, same. Tov. Okay. So. What are we saying about this? Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Rav Tavla. Rabbi Tanchum said in the name of Rabbi Tavla. Amar Rav Beruna, who said in the name of Rav Beruna. Amar Rav, who said in the name of Rav. Yofi, what did he say? Halacha to Rabbi Yehuda. Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. This is correct. We go by this way, right? We had a Tanakama who apparently doesn't go this way. Right? Why do we bring Rabbi Yehuda? So here he's not clarifying and saying this is what the Tanakhama meant. What did the Tanakhama say? Let's just see the alternative. The Tanakhama said, "Kol hakarov lo ba'oto sha'a." Anyone who is disqualified at that time, relative of hayakarov v'nitrachek, hareza kasher. But if he was karov and then he was nitrachek, then he's kasher, meaning he goes different. The Tanakhama said not like this. If you were related, but then later you were not, so you are not. So he's allowed to testify regardless of whether they got kids. This is the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush is that the kids keep them together. The Tanakhama doesn't think the kids keep them together. The Tanakhama said, if you're related and then you're separated, so you're free. You've gone, no longer related now. So you've got kids, you're a kid, you're okay. You're no longer related to the family. There's no relationship between him and him. You're separated, you're gone, finished. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's this kid, you're still in the family. You can't leave that easily. Right? And now the Gemara comes on to say that we follow Rabbi Yehuda. Right? That is a different opinion than the Tanakhama, and therefore we have two to follow now. It's not that otherwise we might have thought, well, Yehuda is just explaining what the Tanakhama says. The Tanakhama says that they separate unless there's kids. Rabbi Yehuda points out, unless there's kids.
But,
Okay. What's
he basing it on?
He's contradicting the mission.
Why is he contradicting?
He's saying that as long as there are kids, the mission doesn't talk about kids.
Who? When you say he,
Rabbi Yehuda
is disagreeing. Rabbi Yehuda the Tana in the Mishnah. And we have different Tanaic opinions. So the Tanakhama thinks yes, and Rabbi Yehuda thinks no. Rabbi Akiva thinks A, whoever thinks B. Rabbi Yossi thinks B. Right? So here we've just got a Tanaic dispute in the Mishnah. The first Tana says the kids don't keep them together. And the second Tana, which is Rabbi Yehuda, says they do. And the Gemara rules, you go by the second opinion. We go by the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda's not mentioned in the Mishnah. What he's saying now?
In the middle of the Mishnah. Vekola
Karov.
Yeah, so that's the Tanakhama. That's the one that we're rejecting. Tanakhama says it just depends on. Yeah, and Rabbi Yehuda on there. Yeah. Okay, very good. Tov. So the long list there we got there came up with a conclusion that Rav was where it all came from. Rav says that the halacha follows Rav Yehuda. So we go by this opinion that the kids keep the link for the son-in-law. Okay. Rava Amar Rav Nachman. Rava says, though, in the name of Rav Nachman, Ein halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. Different opinion. Ein halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. Rav thinks that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Rava disputes Rav and says, no. I heard differently. I heard that the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. V'chen amar Rava bar bar chana, amar Rabbi Yochanan, and so too Rava bar bar chana said in the Rabbi Yochanan, ein halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda. We don't go by that. We go by the Tanakhama. The kids do not make a difference. Once he's out, he's out. Ikat amatne, there are those who teach la it, la hadu Rava bar bar chana, aha, that Rava bar bar chana, when he said what he said, meaning when he said that the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda, he was talking about something else. What was he talking about? Atzu derash Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Yossi Haglili said the following, right, in a different writer. Ubata ela kohanim halavim v'al hashofet asher yeh b'yamim hahem. So the Torah says in Dvarim Pasuk that you will come to the Kohanim, to the Levim, to the judge who will be in that day, in those days, right? So the Torah says, talking about if you're coming to get a ruling, to get a judgment, you're coming to the Beit Din, effectively, but talking in the times of the Torah, right? And the Torah says, and you'll come to the Kohen or to the Levi or to the judges who will be judging in that day. So the writer picks up this verse and says about that verse, V'chita lela datachai. And is it going to occur to your mind she'adam holech etzel shofet shelo haya b'yamav? Very sarcastic comment here in the writer. Can it be that would you have thought if the Torah hadn't told you to go to the judges who are judging in your day, you would have thought to go to judges who are not judging in your day?
Yeah.
Meaning he's saying what he's saying. It's not a superfluous statement, right? Rav Yossi Haglili is pointing out when the Torah says that you should go to the judges who are judging you in your day, It's obvious judges who are judging you on your day. It's like saying you should go to the judge who is alive. Right? Oh, thanks for pointing that out. I wouldn't have realized I should go to a real one, not a proper one. Not a, right? It's obvious I should go to the judges who are going in my... Therefore, what... That's part A. Part A is obvious that I should go to the ones who are judging in my day. Therefore, part B. And therefore, what the Torah is trying to tell me must be... Fill in the blank. It's trying to tell me something. It doesn't mean just... Go to the judges who are judging you in your day. That's obvious. Therefore, there's something under that statement. There's something else within that statement. Therefore, it's coming to teach me. I'm going to find out now what it's going to come to teach me. But that's the svara. When you see something in the Torah that's obvious, so it's coming to teach me something. It's not coming to teach me the obvious statement. It's too obvious. Pshita. Obviously, I'm going to go to the judges that are judging in that day. The Torah doesn't need to write that.
First to the judges of this tzaddikim of this day.
Yeah, in order to say, right?
I know, right?
Nahon, because then you've got the. But if you just said in your hit kashrut, just one of the, it wouldn't make sense unless you've got. In order to teach you that there are also those in this day and those in. So what's the learning here? The learning here is. Ella, rather zeh yakarov v'nitrahek. Rather, this pasuk must be teaching me about the laws of Karov and Nitrachek. Meaning what? Meaning, go to the judge who is a judge in your day to teach you that if he wasn't a... If he's a judge in your day, you can go to him. Even if he wasn't a judge yesterday because he was disqualified. For example, yesterday, last week, he was your brother-in-law. The judge was your brother-in-law last week. But 2 days ago, his wife died, your sister. And now, you can go to him, because in your day, you can go to him. So that when the Torah says, go to the judge who's a judge in your day, it's coming to teach me something, because it doesn't obviously mean the law of the judge is in your day. It's obvious he's in your day. So what's it coming to teach me? It's coming to teach me, says Rabbi Yossi Galili in the Brighter, coming to teach me the law of Nitrachek. That you're right, he used to be pasul, disqualified, but now in your day, today, the day that you need to go and see him, he's now kosher, and that's allowed. I'm learning that's the source for Nitrachek. Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabba Barchana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha ka Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That he follows this, that we do allow you to go to a judge who is now kosher, that wasn't pasul, right? Rabbi Yossi Aglili brought this brighter to learn out the law of Nitrachek from here. And now the Gemara is saying, you're right, we follow that law. That law is halacha, that he wasn't kosher, but now he is. Because we follow the law of Nitrachek. And therefore, it backs up our Mishnah that we don't go by Rabbi Yehuda. We only go by Nitrachek, meaning only Nitrachek. Nitrachek is not qualified, meaning once you become Nitrachek, you're fine. And it doesn't matter, this is irrelevant. Who cares? Once you're Nitrachek, you're Nitrachek. You learn that out in the pasuk without a qualification, except for the fact that if you still got kids, your kids are still gonna... This chidush doesn't appear. It's not conclusive. Right? Because the brighter is only talking about... You could say that the brighter is only talking about this situation. Maybe the brighter is not talking about this situation. Tom. Ad-Kan Hayom. Thank you, gentlemen.